Well, we are excited that you're here today. I have a special treat. I have a friend of mine who's here today. He is a professional rodeo announcer, and he has been in Canadian for the last few days announcing the Canadian rodeo there. And he is a great guy. He's from Missouri. What town in Missouri? Conway, Missouri. And he is just an amazing guy. He loves the cowboy lifestyle, obviously lives it. His dad's here today. Where's Mike? Is Mike Hinton still here? Mike, where? Somewhere? Right up there, yeah, hiding. Right up there. And they've come all the way from Missouri to announce the rodeo, and I wanted him to come and share with you guys. Many of you guys already know him. He's been here before. He's spoken to us before. What I love most about Corey is his heart for Jesus. And so I've asked him to come share that with you. So give it up for Corey. Keith.
Thank you. Man, like I said, the first service, that was a big introduction, and we should just get out of here right now while we still can, right? It's always an honor to come get to speak and share God's word, and it's kind of cool that stuff I'm talking about that I'm going to be talking about today is some stuff that's kind of been going on in my life. And I don't have any doubts that there's some of you guys that have been going through the same thing that I've been going through, and that's because that's how God works. He's cool like that. But I heard a story the other day about a pastor basically was swimming in the ocean and had got drifted out away, and he was missing, and a boat, he's out there basically in the water, just out in the middle of the water, and a boat comes by and says, "Hey, do you want to get in?" And he said, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me." And they're like, "All right," they drive away in their boat. And then a couple hours later, another boat comes by, and same thing. He says, "Hey, you want to get in?" No, God's going to save me. Well, that guy ends up drowning out here in the ocean. And, he gets to heaven, and he says, "God, I thought you were going to save me." And God said, "Man, you idiot, I sent you two boats, and you didn't get in either one of them." So, yeah, he tried. No, I don't think he would have said idiot, but I just threw that in there just to be funny. But, today I'm going to be talking about, having some faith and hopefully encourage you on praying and how to pray and just believing that God's going to do what he says he's going to do, because it's in his word. It is what it is. And I'm not, yeah, amen. I liked whoever said that. Thank you. I'm not affiliated with this book at all. I had to go to Barnes & Noble or wherever, Mardell, whatever it's called, the Christian bookstore or a bookstore, and buy this. So I don't get anything from this. I just think it's a great great tool to use, other than, obviously the Bible is the main tool, but it's really awesome to see what God does in other people's lives, because it encourages me. But this book's called Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. I'm sure some of you guys are familiar with it. And it's a 40-day prayer challenge, and he's a pastor. Mark's a pastor. He started a church in Chicago, and it fell apart, and, he was led to go to Washington, D.C., of all places, and start a church. And through all that, through faith and through prayer and through dedication to the word, they have a church. I think there's 13 different locations that they go off of. He had this vision of having churches in movie theaters on Sunday morning. So they basically live feed it from the home church to all these movie theaters within so many miles of Washington, D.C. And this has all been through this book. It kind of walks you through every step, and there's some other stories. It actually talks about one of your senators from Oklahoma. I don't remember his name. Is it James Lankford? He was sitting. He had felt God calling him to. And I didn't mention this in the first service. You guys get all the good stuff, I guess. I think of all the things I should have said. But anyway, I guess he was sitting in his house, and he had a vision that he was supposed to run for an office. And, he'd never ran before. He'd never ran for anything, never thought about politics at all. And he was sitting there thinking, there's no way, because the lady that normally ran, or whoever ran, she always got it. Like, that was just, she was a good asset to the state, and everyone just kind of went with that. And one day he noticed that she wasn't running. Like, she was out of the race, and his wife come home, and I may be this story may be kind of a fairy tale, but you get the point. You laugh at me now. Announcers, we like to exaggerate things a little bit. It's okay. just bear with me. So she comes home and she says, hey, you're running for office, aren't you? You know, they hadn't even had this conversation. And he was like, yeah, how'd you know? Because, you know, God had been tugging on his heart saying, hey, look, we need you in Washington. And, you know, that was it's a guy after God's own heart. And, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart. So if he's in you, whatever you're thinking is going to be from him. So obviously he is now, is he still a senator? Okay, I'm not from Oklahoma. He's still a senator. I'm sure he's doing awesome things. You know, I don't agree with all the stuff that goes on all throughout the United States, but I do agree with most of the stuff that happens right here in the Midwest. So I believe that he's there for a reason. He's there for a purpose. And it was through this book. He was reading this book when he was called to do that. Okay, we kind of chased a rabbit there a little bit. Let's get back on track. Anyway, this book is unbelievable, kind of through faith and kind of how to pray. And it all goes back to The Circle Maker, which is another book by Mark Batterson that basically he wrote The Circle Maker first and then he wrote Draw the Circle. So you need to read The Circle Maker first and then The 40-Day Prayer Challenge. I don't think it really matters, but I've just started reading the book a couple of weeks ago, and it's really good. But anyway, the one story that inspired him to do this was the story of Honey. Who knows who Honey is, the rainmaker? Has anybody ever heard of him? Nobody in the first service had either. And it's really cool because Honey was a guy after God's own heart, and you know, he was a follower. He was dedicated, and it was during a time. It's supposed to be during a time in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where, you know, nobody really heard from God for so many years. And there was this big drought, a drought so severe that it was getting ready to end the whole world. And it was getting ready to just destroy the whole generation. And don't quote me, it was like 3 or 4 years they hadn't had rain. And anyway, he felt like he was supposed to be the one to bring the rain. So he goes out. He goes out in the community one day, and he's like, it's going to rain. It's going to rain today. And, you know, everyone thinks he's crazy. Everybody, I mean, when you do stuff for God, sometimes you gotta step across the line, and people are going to be like, dude, you are crazy. And if you're living for him, you're going to be like, you know I am. Get out of my way, you know. And so he gets out there, and this is where the circle comes from. And I have no idea. We're going to read some scripture here in a minute. It's going to make a little bit more sense. But he goes out there and he draws a circle with his rod and he stabs it in the ground and he says, I'm going to get in this circle and I'm not coming out until it rains. Everybody thinks he's crazy now. Yeah, I think I'd have been standing over there and be like, is he really going to do that? Like, is this for real? Like, I'm already doubting it, right? He says, it's going to rain today. He draws a circle and he gets in there, and before he gets in there, he says, God, this is not about me. This is about you. It's not my name I'm worried about, because I don't care who I am, because I am nothing, but with you, I'm everything. So this is not about me. This is about you. My name's not on the line here. Your name is. He gets in there and he hits his knees and he prays one of the most powerful prayers that the world, we're going to talk about a couple of powerful prayers today, but this is one of them that was heard all over the world. He got on his knees and said, God, thank you so much that you sent the rain. And he started believing it. And he started praying. And the clouds came in and it started to rain. And there's people all over. They hadn't felt raindrops in years. And, you know, it's starting to come down. And everyone's getting excited. And he stops for a second. And he looks up. And I just picture this in my mind. You know, he's down here on his knees. And he looks up and he goes, God, this is not the rain that I'm praying for. And just continues to pray. And then, you know, the clouds get a little bit darker. Well, then it starts to pour down rain. It says in the story, it says the raindrops were the size of eggs. And I don't know, have you ever been hit with a raindrop the size of an egg? I don't think your American hat would protect your head from that. But anyway, it starts flooding everything, you know, all the canals, all the rivers, it just flooded, water's rising everywhere. And I mean, at this point, if I was in the crowd, I would be freaking out. So everyone is running. And, you know, he stops again. He says, God, this is not the rain that I prayed for. This is not what you want. He's staying faithful. He's staying obedient. You know, he could have easily got up and left his circle as the rain coming down, but he was not satisfied with that, was he? And then it started flooding everything, and he still wasn't satisfied. And he says, God, this is not the rain that I've prayed for. So then the sun comes out. The sun comes out and the clouds roll back in, and a nice, you know, you could call it a summer rain, a spring rain, you know, that one that your pasture has been longing for a month, comes and sets in, and it saves the entire generation. Entire generation, because one man was faithful. And you know, it doesn't have to be a man. It could be a one woman too. God uses women throughout the whole book, the whole Bible. He uses them. But just in this case, it took one person. We'll say one person changed the course of history through his faith in Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want to talk about today, we're going to talk about obedience. And we're not really going to cover a lot about obedience, but we got a scripture that we're going to put up here out of Deuteronomy. And it says, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. And man, you know, you know that God was calling him to go out here and pray. Because, you know, at the end of the day, when we pray for things and we do things, it's not us. We don't get the glory for that. God does. Because once again, it's not about me. It's not about you, but it's about him. And he gets all the glory. And when we are obedient to him, we follow him, and we let him live through us, and we do what he says to do, that's being obedient. God's going to show up. Just like the story. It's funny. I was trying to be funny earlier, but that pastor earlier should have got in the first boat. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He should have just got in the first boat, and he would have been all right. You know, it's... Only listen, he went out there and he prayed. He prayed in front of all of his peers, all of his friends, and people who didn't know him, and the rain came. Before I jump into the main part, let's go ahead and pray, all right? Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning, and I'm so grateful for who you are. And Father, I thank you that you're able to live through us, Father, and that you speak to us and you talk to us. And Lord, I thank you so much for speaking to me the last couple of weeks and giving me some visions and dreams. And Lord, I know there's some people in here today that's had some visions, they've had some dreams, and Father, they may be doubting you right now. I know I've doubted you, but Father, after today, we're not going to doubt anymore, because we're going to believe in you, and we're going to trust in you, put our faith in you, because we can't do this alone. And Father, we thank you for the scripture today, and we thank you for these stories that you've laid on my heart. Father, remove me in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm just the messenger. It's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, in Deuteronomy 5:33, we just read that one. And in Psalms 37:4, you know, he gives you the desires of your heart. And it's funny because, you know, I've been a Christian most of my life, and I've always had this desire to be a rodeo announcer. Like, that's what I've always wanted to do. And my first rodeo I announced when I started announcing calf roping jackpots at NEO when I was 18, and I announced my first rodeo as a 19-year-old at Southwestern Oklahoma State University at the college rodeo. And here I am, 24, and that's what I do full-time, and I have some cows. So I'm living the dream, but I was in the center of God's will. You know, I was asking God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And he gave me those desires to go do these things. And you know, wherever you're at in your life, maybe you're not happy with where you're at in your life, just know that keep seeking him and keep trusting him, because you may be in the worst place you think you'd ever be in. God is going to use you in the darkest place in your life. He wants to use you. He's waiting on you. And we're going to get into the story of Jericho. Because, you know, in life, there's a lot of things that we come across, and there's a lot of walls that we can't seem to get through. We have a lot of doubts. You know, there's been times in my career where just a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to give it all up. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't want to do it anymore. I was just doubting him. I was so discouraged, and I mean, I've got all this stuff lined out for this year to do, and I just seriously, I just wanted to call everybody and say, look, find somebody else. I don't want to do it. Have y'all ever been there before? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's times where Bo, he doesn't want to get up here and preach. I've been there. You know, I have the opportunity to play the guitar and sing at some deals that I do throughout the year. And, man, there's times I'm sitting in my trailer before we have church. I'm like, man, God, I don't want to get up, and I just don't want to go do it today. I don't want to do it. But look, we've got to suck it up and just do it. And God's going to show up, okay? Life gets hard sometimes, but you know what? Life was hard for the Israelites because they chose not to listen. They chose not to follow. So what? They wandered around the desert for 40 years. 40 years. That's a long time. And you know, it's so funny. They've seen all these miracles. You know, God let them out of Egypt, and he gave them food and water and just all sorts of stuff. And still yet they doubted him. It's so funny when I read that story. I'm like, man, that's me. Like, you know, God's opened all these doors for me to do what I love to do. And there's times where I'm just like, man, God's not here. This is like, what am I doing? When really I just need to step out of the way and say, okay, God, you got this. You got this. So anyway, they're wandering around in the desert, you know, and finally a generation comes along, and Joshua's the leader now, and they're getting ready to head. They're going to go on into Jericho. You know, they cross the Jordan River, and they're going to go on in. And I'm going to read part of that right now to Joshua 6, starting with verse 1. I didn't go all the way through it the first service, but we're going to stop early, and I'm going to read it out of my Bible because I think it's more powerful that way. All right, so let me get here. Make sure I can pronounce my words correctly this time. All right, so it says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Now no one went out and no one came in. So nobody could get in here, nobody could get out. Let's make that point. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I had delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. So let's stop for just a second. It says, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. God sticks to his promises. He sticks to his promises. Joshua was a man after God's own heart too. And he's listening to God. How are we going to get in? How are we going to get into Jericho? How are we supposed to do this? Because there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, but there's probably only one correct way to do it, right? Or there's a lot of ways to sort cattle, but really there's one way that works right every time. But anyway, it says, Jericho's into your hands along with its kings and fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. And on the seventh day, march around the city seven times. So God, you know, God's told Joshua what to do. And this is what they're doing here, okay? And where, okay, it says, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of them. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. At this time the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, and do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout, then shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Did we catch that? Circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. And Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests carrying the seven trumpets went forward, marching around the Ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city, once again returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day they circled the city 7 times. And on the 7th time around, the priest sounded the trumpet blast. Joshua commanded the army to shout, for the Lord had given them the city. Or it says, the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that it's in it are devoted to the Lord. And I'm going to stop there. And I want to ask this question, and I'm going to ask it again at the end of the service. And I want you to be thinking about what you're going to write on your card that they handed you at the beginning of the service when you walked in. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we're going to come to. You know, just think of yourselves as the Israelites. You know, you're in Egypt right now. God's getting ready to let you out of there. Are you going to wander around the desert for 40 years? Are you just going to listen to him and get there a lot quicker? Okay? So he lets them out of Egypt. They wandered around. They finally crossed the Jordan River. And then they get to Jericho. And you notice that every time they listen to God, good things happen. Good things happen. And it's so funny, they circled the city. They circled the city. And you know, I don't think there's some magic number. I think that's just the number that God given them. You know, he said, you're going to go around it one time for 6 days. You know, 6 days in a row, you're going to go around it each day. And on the 7th day, you're going to go around it 7 times. I think that was just God. You know, I don't believe there's anything special about that number. But I think that was just them being obedient to him. Because if we go back to Deuteronomy, we got to be obedient. We got to be obedient. So what, my question is today, what is your Jericho? What walls are you facing in your life right now that you need to draw a circle around? What do you need to pray for? What do you need to put your faith in? You know, I've been circling everything. And this book will challenge you to circle stuff. And but before I go there, I told this story in the first service that I didn't have written down. But you know, it's funny that I share this message today because we're so close to the 4th of July. It's Independence Day. I mean, y'all know that we shouldn't have won the Revolutionary War, right? Is everybody aware? Like, that wasn't just like we were just really tough and gritty. I mean, and we just physically won. No. We won because of the grace of God, because our leaders feared God, and our leaders sought after his plan for this nation. And you know, in this book, it'll tell you that our founding fathers, it was the very first meeting that they ever had, you know, the Continental Congress or whatever it was called. And the very first meeting they ever had, there was so much chaos, you know, because there's so many ideas. I mean, you know how it is now when they have meetings in Washington. It's just, nah, 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 nah. It's like, just shut up and do something. I mean, that's kind of, yeah, that ought to get an amen. I don't care what you do, just do something. No, and I'm not trying to be political. But they were bickering, you know, and one of the pastors that was there, one of the preachers of the community in Philadelphia, said, look, guys, what are we doing? Like, who are we? Let's pray. What a great idea. When you're not sure, when you're unsure of things. You know, my dad shared a scripture with me just a while ago. It says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, you know, pray. And they quoted a scripture out of Psalms. And I meant to look that up in between services, but I didn't do it. But basically, to sum that up, they were saying, God, deliver us from evil. I mean, Great Britain was they were the powerhouse of the world. They had the troops, they had the ships, they had the guns. They were bigger, faster, stronger, they shot better. Folks, there's no way we should have won. But God was in control. There is no way that the Israelites should have gotten into Jericho, but they listened to what God was telling them to do, and the walls came down. So because they were faithful, they got Jericho. Because our founding fathers were faithful and they feared God, we live in the greatest nation on God's green earth. Okay? Pretty simple. because of Honey delivering the prayer for rain, we're still here today. Saved an entire generation. All it takes is one prayer of faith, one obedience thing to God. When He tells you to do something, don't doubt Him. Go do it. Go do it. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I hit a wall. I'm not going to lie, I hit a wall, and it was when I was doubting everything, the whole announcing career, everything. I just wanted to go home. I was missing my family. I just wanted to go home. And I've been reading this book, and because of that, you know, I hit that wall, and I opened up my bag in a hotel room in Tulsa, and I saw that book, and I said, man, it's time for me to start reading that again. You know, I've done it once. I'm going to do it again. And I started reading it, and I just want to say ever since that day, I have totally, my prayer life has changed. I've been more faithful. I have not doubted what He's doing because He gives me the desires of my heart. And you know, with me sitting there doubting what I'm doing, that is not His desire. It's not His desire that you doubt your situation that you're in. He has a way for you to get through it. There's a reason you're in that situation. And you know, I went home and I got home and we've been building some fence along a road, and we had had some marking paint in the four-wheeler, and I just happened to come home and most of the fence was done, thank goodness. And but I saw that paint there, and I had been reading this book, you know, Draw Your Circle. And I went out to where my heifers were in the pasture, and I found the coolest place. I'd been there before. You know, you all have that place you can go that you can pray, get away from the world, and just leave your phone and all the junk in your life. Just leave it at the house. So I drove the four-wheeler down here to this tree, and I got out, and wouldn't you know that the heifers had ate almost a complete circle underneath this tree. I mean, the grass is knee high down there, and this one little spot had been ate out. So I took that can, sprayed a circle. And because I've been searching for answers in my life, and some things have been going on, and I drew that circle, and I'm not going to lie, I was out there for probably a good 45 minutes on my hands and knees, and I was praying. And you know, that's the most humbling thing. I'd never done that before. And I'm not sitting up here telling you that I'm some special person with power. But you know, I believe that if you let God live through you, He gives you the power to do miracles. And I think, yeah. And I'm not saying I'm some crazy prophet. I'm just saying it was humbling hitting my knees out in the middle of this pasture in this circle that I had drawn because I was seeking God for answers that I was needing. And man, that just really gets me fired up today. We need to be praying more, people. And not just little tiny prayers, get me through this day. What, man, that offends God, don't you know? Don't you know that offends Him? I don't care what the situation is in your life. Your situation does not know my God. He doesn't know my God. My God is bigger. He is better than anything that's going on in your life right now. And we need to write that down. We need to figure out what that is. Whatever that problem is, whatever that, maybe it's a dream. Whatever it is, we need to be writing it down. And you know, there's no power in drawing a circle, but it's that step of faith. It's that step of faith saying, look, God, this is serious. You've given me this dream to do whatever. You know, I know this, you guys are building a new building. And I talked to Bo last week, and he said you guys were needing money. So what I started praying for your guys' church, because I believe that God is going to bring somebody in here, and it doesn't have to be one person. And this is not why I'm here today. Because there's several of my friends have started churches, and they've circled things, and God has blessed them so much. Mark Batterson walked around Washington, D.C. It was 4.3 miles. He walked all the way around. It took him all day praying for all these buildings and streets because he believed that God was going to give him all that. And he did. That church, Mark's church, has been blessed with $7 million over a course of time. And, you know, it's so funny. You know, he tells these stories and he says, you know, there's times where you just want to give up, where you just quit believing. You're like, man, God's not going to do that. But you know what? He will. Because when things get tough, that's when things start getting good. How faithful do you want to be? How faithful do you want to be? And if we go to Hebrews, we haven't put that one up there yet, have we? And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So folks, in this church, if you believe in what this church is trying to do, God's going to take care of you. You know, that building over there, it's not about the building. It's not about looking cool or anything like that. That building is going to change. It's going to change thousands of lives. I believe it. God's not done. God's not done. You know, as I was talking to Bo, you know, I could tell, you know, you kind of had hit a wall. And I was in the same, it's funny because I was in the same place. I had hit a wall too. And I shared that story with Bo about Honey, about praying. And man, that wasn't for him and it wasn't for you. And it was for me. But I think God is gonna bless this church because of your guys' faith. He's going to bless this church because of your guys' faith. Because right now, that building not being done, I believe that's your Jericho. As a body, as a whole body in this building, that is y'all's Jericho. That's one thing y'all have in common right now. And y'all need to be, you need to write Thousand Hills Church, and you need to circle it and believe that God is going to show up and give you what you need to finish the building. Because it's His will, not yours. Amen? Amen? And I believe that today. So what is your Jericho? You know, we just talked about your church body's Jericho. I think. It's not about what I think, though. I'm just the messenger. What is your Jericho? Is it a marriage? Is it a marriage today? Are you struggling? Are you can't find happiness with your wife, or you can't find happiness with your husband? Is there a wall? Is there a wall there? Is your finances, does it look so far out of reach? It just doesn't make sense. Well, I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. You can't do it. I could sit up here and I could tell you hundreds of stories about people not having a dime, but they get that money and they tithe that check to whatever ministry they feel led to do. Man, finances aren't a problem. At the end of the day, you look at that bank account. There may not be any money in there. You tithe that check, I promise there will be money, because you're going to believe that God's going to use the money that you're given to whatever ministry that is to further His kingdom. He's going to bless you for that. You know, Malachi says, test me in this. And I'm not up here talking about finances today, but what is your Jericho? But do you have a sickness? Does somebody in your family have cancer? Man, quit praying these little prayers. Heal my family member. God, thank you so much that you're going to heal them today in the name of Jesus. And claim it. Circle it and claim it. And yeah, I'm getting fired up. I get a little fired up every now and then. It's all right. You know, maybe God's given you a vision to do something big, and you haven't told anybody. But you know what? People thought Noah was crazy because he was building an ark in the desert. All right? So surely you're not that crazy. If God's called you to do something, do it. Do it. That's what I'm here. That's what this whole purpose is today. Listen to God. Be obedient to Him. Follow Him. Seek Him. Trust Him. No matter what your situation is, whether it's bad, whether it's good, whether it's a dream, earnestly seek Him, and doors will be open and doors will be shut. I believe it in the name of Jesus today. So on your note cards, here's what I want you to do as we're getting close. I want you to write what that is, and I don't want your name on it. Nobody's going to see this. This is an act of faith this morning. These yellow buckets are up here, like they are every Sunday. I want you to write what your Jericho is. Is it your marriage? Is it a friend? Is it a family member? Is it somebody that you is it, maybe you're you've I don't maybe you're in a relationship and maybe you know you're not supposed to be in it. Maybe it's time to let that go. Or maybe there's somebody in your life that you know you're supposed to be with, but maybe you're supposed to sit back and wait for them. I know that sounds crazy. Circle it. Circle their name. Circle your finances. If there's a piece of land that you've driven by and you think you're supposed to have it because God's going to do something with it, circle it. Circle it. If there's a business you've been dreaming of having, folks, if you're in God's will, man, that's his heart. That's his heart in your heart. Don't you understand that? Dream big. Expect big things to happen. I don't serve a God that just fixes little stuff. I serve the God that makes the flowers bloom in the spring, that sends the rain and the drought. I serve a God that knows every single part of your body. That's the God that I serve. There's nothing simple about the God that I serve. Everything is complex because it's so far out of reach. It's beyond my understanding. But, you know, I'm not supposed to understand. It's not my job to understand what he's trying to do. I've got to trust him. Are you trusting him today? Write that on your card. And on your way out of here, I want you to put it in the bucket. I want you to put it in the bucket. And I want you to pray about it. And when you get home, get you a journal like this and just start circling stuff. I'll just share some stuff that I've been circling to give you an idea. You know, I'm 24 and I'm single. So I have my wife circled, even though I don't know who she is. I don't know, you know her or what she looks like, but I have her circled. Sometimes my attitude stinks. I've got it circled. You know the next step? I'm sorry. The next step in my ministry, you know, my family, you know, where do you want me to settle down at? You know, I got my future land ministry. I got friends' names wrote down. And I'm believing that God is going to show up and start answering these prayers any day. And, you know, I've posted this on Facebook a couple times. Today could be the day that God answers those prayers that you've been longing for all these years. And I encourage you to, if there's any note cards left, get one on your way out the door and write that on it. Say, today could be the day. Put it in your truck. If you work in an office, put it in your office. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it on your refrigerator. Today could be the day that God shows up. Amen. Isn't God good? All right. Well, I hope you've been encouraged today. This message was for me. And man, I want to go ahead. I want to pray for you guys and be thinking about what you, if you haven't put anything on that sheet yet. If you don't feel led to put anything, I'm not begging you. If you feel like you're supposed to write something down and drop it in the bucket, do it. Because it's a step of faith. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come to you this morning. And God, I'm just so, so grateful for who you are. Lord, I just thank you that it's not my job to understand my situation. Lord, we're just supposed to just trust you. God, I know that you've given me dreams. You've given me visions. And Lord, I've been circling those things. Just like Honey and just like Joshua, when they circled Jericho, Father, you were faithful. You came through because you are who you say you are. Lord, I just lift up every single person in this room, God, because I know they have a Jericho in their life. And it may be several. But Lord, I thank you so much that they are ridding themselves from that right now, Father, and that they are going to give it to you today for the first time. And Lord, I thank you so much that when we wake up, that today could be the day that you answer those prayers that we've been longing for. Because God, you don't quit. You're a big God. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins and everybody's sins in here, that you may live through us. It's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Give Corey a hand. Didn't he do an awesome job? Stay right here, buddy. Corey, I love Corey. I love his heart. I love his passion. He likes to cry a little bit. He can relate to David and myself. But anyways, but Corey is an amazing man of God, and I hope that you will put Corey on a list and be praying for him as well, that God uses him. He gets to hold one of these. Every rodeo that he goes to, he gets to hold one of these. And so God has put him in a platform where he can share the good news of Jesus. And so pray that God uses that in a powerful, powerful way. One of the cool things that Corey, I asked him not to share this because I was going to share it. But Corey, one of the other things about prayer is if you have people around you that live a righteous life, that desire to do what God's will is, those are the people that you want to call when you need a prayer answered, because their righteous living will help your answers, and their righteous praying will help the answers come quicker. Amen? And so, again, having friends like Corey, I called Corey. So I told him I wanted to visit with him a little bit before he came and preached, and I told him, or I texted him before I talked to him, actually, and I said, hey, man, he goes, how can I pray for you? I want to, pray for you. And I said, we do. We obviously have an awesome building started. We need some more money to, to be able to go ahead and keep moving forward. And he said, man, he quoted Honey? The story of Honey. He said, man, just circle that and just be praying. And he said, I'm going to be praying for you too. And I want to know what God does. Well, we prayed for the last week together for God to answer that prayer. And last Sunday, somebody wrote us a check for $150,000. And so the truth that he's sharing, again, it works. You guys, and it's not about the money. It's about the miracle. Amen? And I texted him and called him, and I said, hey, man, God just wrote us another check for $150,000. And he's like, I'm not surprised. Because God, that's how good he is. And again, it's not about money, but in our situation, that's what we need. And so he's providing it, and he provides it every time we need it. And so please take that as a step of faith in your own life, to not just pray for, finances or whatever, but to pray for, again, like relationships, pray for a future wife, pray for, a future, friendships, whatever it is, pray for those things, because God answers our prayers, especially when we're living that righteous life that he desires. So great word this morning. Jamie's going to come share some closing comments, and then we'll be out of here. Thank you, guys.